This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Climate change was a big issue in 2008, and I'm sure it'll continue to be an issue in 2009. To speak to us more, joining me on the line is Trish Harrop from Greenpeace Climate and Control Campaigner. Thank you very much for your time today, Trish.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Now, Trish, was 2008 a good year for climate change?
Well, 2008 was a very disappointing year for Australians who are concerned about climate change. We had high hopes, I think, for the Rudd ALP government, who were elected in 2007, partly off the back of a climate change election promise, which we saw fall apart essentially in 2008. Towards the end of the year, the government finally announced the target that they would commit to on an international basis, and it was pathetically low. I think everyone can understand that 5% is a pathetic target and will do little to address this urgent problem.
Because the figures that were being thrown around were around 20 to 25%, is that right?
That's right. At the international level, there's an expectation that developed rich countries like Australia will do their bit to avoid this potential disastrous climate change problem, and that is around about 40% cuts in emissions. Somewhere between 25 to 40% is what science says is the minimum needed to avoid some of the worst catastrophes. So 5%, it's not even in the ballpark.
No, it's nowhere near it. Why does Greenpeace believe that Kevin Rudd and the ALP did drop it down to 5%?
I'm really sorry, I didn't hear the end of your sentence.
I was going to say, why do you think that Kevin Rudd and the ALP actually settled for 5%?
Well, they came under intense pressure and lobbying from the fossil fuel industry in Australia. That industry was a huge problem under the Howard government. They essentially blocked any progress on climate change policy in Australia to protect their own short-term interests. There were hopes that with the change of government, their influence would be diminished. But what we saw in 2008 is that the Rudd ALP government is as open to caving into the fossil fuel and polluting industry in Australia as the Howard government was. So we think that the 5% target is the result of pressure from the polluters in Australia.
So what is Greenpeace going to do in 2009?
Well, 2009 is going to be a huge year for addressing climate change, both nationally and also internationally. In December this year, in Denmark, in Copenhagen, there will be an international meeting where it is hoped that a new global deal will be forged on climate change. So December 2009, Copenhagen is our best chance to get a global deal. We're hoping that Australia can lift its game at those international negotiations. Unfortunately, at the moment, Australia is part of the gang of deal breakers. They are part of the gang who are trying to prevent there being a good global agreement on dealing with climate change. However, we're hopeful. There has been some changes, as we know, in the world politics, particularly with the election of Barack Obama in the USA. Under the Bush administration, the USA were a deal breaker, definitely. They were blocking any progress on climate. Barack Obama has said that he's going to re-engage, and we're hoping that that will force countries like Australia to also rethink their position.
So you mentioned Australia is one of the deal breakers. Which are other countries that seem to be deal breakers at the moment?
Well, there's a gang, and they're called together the Umbrella Group, and that includes Australia and New Zealand and Canada and Japan and the USA. All those countries are heavily dependent at the moment on fossil fuels, coal, and in Canada, shale oil. These on their own are incredibly damaging to the environment, but also are key contributors to climate change. And it's in protecting those industries that they forge their climate change policies, which are blocking any progress.
So they're the deal breakers. Which are the countries that are at the forefront of tackling climate change?
Well, In our, it's actually our neighbours who are at the forefront of a progressive position, and that's the Pacific Island nations. They are without doubt the most vulnerable to climate change, particularly due to sea level rise. In the Pacific region, there's many countries that will become virtually uninhabitable if we have 1 metre or more of sea level rise. And currently, scientists think if we continue our current behaviour, that could happen within a century. So the Pacific Island nations are part of what is called AOSIS. It's an alliance of the small island states, and they are the voice for a proper solution to climate change at these international negotiations, and also the European Union. The European Union has been, of the rich, developed nations, the most progressive and providing the most leadership in terms of getting a response on climate change. And now we're all hoping that also the USA will join in providing that leadership.
You mentioned before that Japan was one of the deal breakers. How is the rest of Asia going with it when it comes to negotiating for climate change?
Well, it gets quite complex for many of the Asian countries, and their circumstances vary. But some of those countries still have very low levels of development. They have people who are living well below the poverty line, particularly in countries like India, although in that country there's also quite a wealthy middle class. The emissions from those countries are growing, but they are not yet anywhere near the levels that we in Australia produce per person. So those countries will have to be part of the global agreement and commit to reducing their emissions. But the majority of the effort for now needs to be made by the developed nations like Australia, the US, and Europe.
I also wanted to take this chance to talk to you about what's happening a little bit closer to home in Victoria. How are we going with renewable energy in Victoria?
Well, again, in 2008, there's great disappointment with the Victorian government. A major policy that will help to support renewable energy that has been introduced in Germany and in many countries since Germany did it, it's called a feed-in tariff, and that's where homeowners or businesses who invest in solar energy are paid a higher tariff if they feed into the grid. So it essentially pays households and businesses to be energy generators and to produce clean energy that can then be fed into the grid. So the Victorian government finally passed legislation to enable a feed-in tariff. Unfortunately, the design of that has rendered it virtually useless. The main thing is that there's two choices. One's gross or one is fit. One is gross and one is net. So gross is where you install a solar system, you feed that from your house into the grid so it's available for all customers to use, and you're paid a higher tariff for everything that you feed into the grid. With a net tariff, you're only they take away what you use within your house, and you're only rewarded for that extra bit fed into the grid. Now, unfortunately, over the year, most households don't produce much in that net way, so they won't actually receive any additional financial benefit.
And the net is the way that the government's going, is that right?
I'm sorry?
And then the net tariff is the way that the government's going?
Yes, so the Victorian government has decided to pass a net tariff, which means that there's not really going to be any incentive for a household or a business to invest in a solar system. There needs to be some sort of investment because, for now, this is expensive compared with cheap coal-fired electricity. But we're hoping over time that as more and more people use solar energy, the costs will come down. But at the moment, it would probably cost a household more than $10,000, and there needs to be some sort of incentive to make that huge investment.
For sure. So 2009, Australia and Victoria and Australia as a whole need to lift its game. What can my listeners do to help support Greenpeace so that Australia does lift its game?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it needs to be made very clear to the Rudd government that they're not delivering on their promise to deal with climate change. And I think any person who considered climate change one of their top issues when they were voting in the 2007 election can feel justifiably that they've been betrayed by this government. If they feel that way, then I would encourage them to speak to their local MP about what is wrong with the government's climate change response and what they'd like to see done to fix that. And there's probably a huge array of things that could be done to fix that. But importantly, the 5% target that the Rudd government announced is pathetically low and needs to be increased to at least 40%, as is the international expectation, so that Australia can become part of the deal makers at the international negotiations.
For sure.
Rather than a deal breaker.
Well, Trish, thank you very much for taking the time to have a chat to us today on All Natural.
Pleasure. Thank you.
My pleasure. That was Trish Harrop. She's Greenpeace's climate and energy campaigner. To find out more about Greenpeace, of course, jump onto their website and talk to your local MPs. Shoot them a phone call, an email, write to them, whichever way. Tell them that you're not happy with the 5%.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.